It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We're going to have some great conversations. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're each treasured, valued. You have a purpose today. Strive for excellence, live with intention, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this great team I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is hump day. It is also Wednesday Wings Day at Hooters Restaurant, Steve.
Yeah, and I bet you're going to clean up on those tonight, aren't you?
I am. The girls are going to come over tonight. And so we're going to do the smoked wings because we're watching the calories. They're half the calories. So we're going to watch that.
I learned a lesson a long time ago if I get invited to the Wednesday night thing, don't get between the table and the wings.
That's for sure. And they have all kinds of different rubs, Texas barbecue rub, lemon rub, habanero. And there's 5 locations in the metro area for Hooters restaurants: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have all kinds of specials. You can find those on my website. They're one of the great partners that brings this show to you on a regular basis. And check out my website. It is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. The recaps and podcasts of the show can be found there. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get all kinds of great information. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And if you want to contribute to support the work that we're doing, we greatly appreciate that. You can do that at the website as well. This Sunday, we have a great America's Veterans Stories show planned for you. It is the 79th anniversary of the Jimmy Doolittle Raid, the Doolittle Raid over Japan, which was just 4 months after the attack on Pearl Harbor. So it was a real morale booster for us, the Americans, and it really kind of took a little bit of morale away from the Japanese. I interviewed Jimmy Doolittle's granddaughter, Jonna Doolittle Hoppus, and it is a super interview. It will be on from 3 to 4 on Sunday afternoon, Steve.
It is a great interview because she took it upon herself to learn everything, every detail of what went into that, and including the aeronautical portions of it in terms of making these airplanes fly to do what they needed them to do in terms of taking off from an aircraft carrier and the bomb load per se on each one. It's just truly amazing.
It is. And so you will not want to miss that show that Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM. As we look at these issues, my friends, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable, and excessive taxation or fear. You're shaking your head, Steve.
I'm going to back you up to the Doolittle raid. We talk about knowing history. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And I cannot identify this person, but I've talked to somebody last Friday when we recorded the interview. And I was excited about it the whole day. And I'm talking to this person who is coming up on 80 years of age. And this person had no idea who Jimmy Doolittle was. And I
really
walked away thinking, how did you get close? I mean, granted, you were 1 year old when it all went down, or barely 1 year old. All right, I'll give you that much. But you're almost 80 years old. You never heard of Jimmy Doolittle?
Ugh. Well, that's why these shows are so important, Steve.
So, sorry for backing you up there.
Not a problem. It is so important that we know our history. And that is one of the reasons why we do that show. Speaking of our history, this is a really, really interesting quote for today. And I actually pulled 2 of them. And this is by William Howard Taft. He was the 27th president of the United States and the 10th Chief Justice of the United States, the only person to have held both offices. Taft was elected president in 1908, the chosen successor of Theodore Roosevelt, but was defeated for re-election by Woodrow Wilson in 1912 after Roosevelt split the Republican vote by running as a third-party candidate. Boy, talk about some probably very tumultuous times during that time. And of course, then that put in place Woodrow Wilson, who started all of these radical activist, progressive slash regressive policies. And it was because the ticket was split. I found that fascinating, Steve.
I have always heard, beware of, you know, as an election is coming down in that particular year, you know, beware of somebody who has that potential. I think in our modern time, is it was Ross Perot was the last one to do that?
I think so. And there are reasons probably why there is a third party ticket. I have to, I don't know the history of what happened there, but I actually have done some research on Teddy Roosevelt, and he did move over to maybe a bit more progressive socialist policies for that time. And so I don't know. We've got more history to work on that. But William Howard Taft was born in 1857. He died in 1930. And the first quote I wanted to talk about was just yesterday when we had Representative Ransom on. And she's a member of the Joint Budget Committee. And the Colorado Democrats have just presented what they call the long bill, which is the big spending, the big spending appropriations bill for Colorado. And she said that there was a tremendous amount of money going to higher education. I'm now calling it higher indoctrination. We are not seeing freedom of thought, freedom of ideological freedom on our universities. And think about it, my friends. Not only are there big donors that endow these schools, and it's we've got to change that. You can't be endowing schools to pay professors, to indoctrinate kids, to hate their parents, the fact the parents have worked and put something together, to hate the American idea. It's madness that we continue to do that. And it's madness that we continue to use tax dollars to make that happen as well, Steve.
Who's to say those endowments don't come with big strings attached?
Not so much. Many of these endowments are coming from successful Republican conservative businessmen and businesswomen. And I think that all of us have thought that higher education is really something there that we want to provide opportunity for our kids. But my gosh, Steve, when you see what's coming out of these universities, the lack of the canceling, the cancel culture, the coward culture, when you're seeing what's happening and then to fund it with tax dollars, it's madness.
Well, go ahead and read the quote, because that'll help define what you're saying.
Okay, and this is William Howard Taft. This is what he said. Unless education promotes character making, unless it helps men to be more moral, more just to their fellows, more law-abiding, more discriminately patriotic and public-spirited, it is not worth the trouble taken to furnish it.
Amen.
Yeah, and when we talk about law-abiding, I always want to make a point there. You can make laws, all kinds of laws. We've seen quote unquote laws, regulations, executive orders. The laws, all of this should pass the muster of the U.S. Constitution and the vision of the Declaration. That is what we are talking about when we're talking about law in America, Steve.
Look at the words there: moral, justness, law-abiding, patriotic, public-spirited. Where is that? Mm-hmm. What have we seen in the last 24 months in the streets? None of that.
Yeah, just within the last couple of days. And I want to learn more about him, William Howard Taft. What a fascinating guy. But the quote for today that I pulled, because we're going to be talking with Randall O'Toole in the third and fourth segment about Biden's attack on single-family zoning. And of course, a single family home, owning your own home, is part of the American dream. It's a way to create wealth. And then also a couple of choo-choo train things. And one of them is the Bill of the Day, which we'll chat about in just a second. But this is what William Howard Taft said. He said, next to the right of liberty, the right of property is the most important individual right guaranteed by the Constitution, and the one which, united with that of personal liberty, has contributed more to the growth of civilization than any other institution established by the human race. I thought that was pretty good, Steve.
This Taft guy, he's got my attention.
He's got my attention, too, for sure.
Wonder if he could run for office. Oh, sorry.
He did, and he actually lost because the vote got split. Okay, the bill of the day. Senate Bill 21-238. Primary sponsors are Senators Garcia and Zinziger and Representatives Escar and Gray.
I went in and looked. Guess which party?
Democrat.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is to create a Front Range Passenger Rail District. And it says the bill creates the Front Range Passenger Rail District, which is a bureaucracy, for the purpose of planning, designing, developing, financing, constructing, operating, and maintaining an interconnected passenger rail system along the Front Range. The district is specifically required to work collaboratively with the RTD, Regional Transportation District. And bear in mind, RTD has taxing authority. So I'm sure that that's one of the reasons why they have that there. And it says to ensure connectivity with any passenger rail system operated by or for the RTD and with Amtrak, or interconnectivity with Amtrak Southwest Chief, California Zephyr, and Winter Park Express trains, including, but not limited to, rerouting the Amtrak Southwest Chief passenger train. If deemed appropriate by the Board of Directors, that's a group of bureaucrats, of the district and by the Board of Directors of RTD, the district may share with RTD capital costs, get that, associated with shared use of the rail line infrastructure in the Northwest Rail Line Corridor for the passenger train service. And it's going to comprise districts from Wyoming to New Mexico, basically. Honestly, do we really see that there's a need? And we're going to talk with Randall about what the cost is going to be for this. And I think with all the money that's being printed in Washington, and I really consider it payoffs to Colorado, to Polis, for all of the policies and executive orders that he's put in place, which has really, really hurt our small businesses. There's all this money coming to Colorado from the feds, and this is one of their dreams that they want to do is this Front Range Passenger District. As I was driving over, I saw a couple of different RTD trains, and I think probably out of 6 cars, I saw 2 people on those cars. And think about just what that carbon footprint is. What is that footprint to run those trains with just a couple of people on them? It's just really astounding. But we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Kathleen Chandler, because the radical activist regressive left has running candidates and taking over our local governments. And there's all kinds of boards and commissions that we need to start to do our civic duty and take part in. She's running some classes to inform people about that. She is the director of this program with the Independence Institute. We'll talk with Kathleen Chandler when we come right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice out there. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press is inherent in a free society. So thank you to you for that as well. On the line with me is Kathleen Chandler, and she is doing a really important work with the Independence Institute. She's the director of their local government project, and she is helping people find places where they can start to plug in and make a difference in their communities on boards and commissions and running for office. Kathleen Chandler, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Kim. I really appreciate it.
This is such important work that you're doing, Kathleen. Why have you started this project, and you've been doing it for how long?
Well, it's been almost 8 years, I guess, which is pretty amazing to
yeah.
me. I started out as just kind of a passion in the Aurora area to try to figure out how to increase the conservative center-right voice in local government without having to be elected. And I kind of did some investigation and found these myriad of boards and commissions. And so I started working in Aurora, trying to get people appointed to these. But I quickly found out that it's extremely difficult, one, to get the information about the boards, but two, to make sure that you're qualified in order to be on a board in a specific area, because the district lines of all of these boards and commissions just continue to cross over on each other. And so I discovered that looking at Aurora was just too small. So I looked a lot bigger. Well, we did kind of the 7-county metro area, and through the Independence Institute, we kind of thought up this project together. And the 7-county metro area alone has over 4,000 boards and commissions. And these boards and commissions do everything from, you know, working with your county on, let's say, a citizen budget advisory commission, which is really great, all the way up to immigration and refugee commission, but other things like land use and maybe zoning and planning. And then there's also other districts that we didn't even think about, like fire districts, library districts, even park and rec districts. Each of those layers of government, which totaled, as I said, about 4,000 just in the metro area, they oversee every aspect of your life, and they make rules. Some of them have rulemaking authority, which is the force of law, and only they might just have, you know, some recommendations that then they pass on up to the city council, county commissioners, or other authorities that actually vote. And so there is a ton of power in these boards and commissions, and they are housed or run by citizens like you and me, just people that have a passion for a specific form of government and want to see their voice heard. So we just set out on a plan to try to fill these positions with center-right people that might have a better perspective on, as you mentioned earlier in a commercial, I think, private property rights. You know, it's really discouraging when, you know, all of a sudden your zoning and planning commission tells you you cannot do something with your private property because they've instituted a specific rule, like an easement. You know, you can't put your garage here because you have to have a 3-foot easement. Well, who determined that, and why is that important? But they can, and they can, and then you cannot put your garage in that specific spot. So we're out there just hustling and making sure that people know about these boards and commissions because, as I said, they are unelected citizens like you and me that just get appointed to these boards, and they have a tremendous impact.
They do have a tremendous impact. Tell us, give us a success story of somebody that stepped up and went through your class. What's a success story that you have?
Sure. There is a wonderful man. His name is Don Sheehan. He's kind of become my poster child for this project. About 4 years ago, he came to my class and got on fire about being involved in his local government. He retired, and he decided, you know, I could get on the senior commission for the city of Centennial. So excited. He got on the commission, served faithfully, and was doing a great job. Then one day, his seated city council member decided not to run for re-election decided, you know, to move on to back to business life, and approached Don and said, hey, you've been doing such a great job on this commission. Would you like to run for city council? And, you know, that had never really crossed Don's mind. But then he realized, you know, I do know a lot. I have made a reputation of a hard worker. I've been doing great things for my constituents, the seniors in Centennial. And so he called me. We set out kind of a plan, and he ran for city council, and he actually won. And Don Sheehan is a seated city council member in the city of Centennial right now. That's how it should work. That's how we want it to work, so that when we get to that point of having a candidate in a specific city, we can trust, one, that they know how government runs, and two, that they can do a good job. I think sometimes on the center-right, we just let people run, and they are not a good spokesperson for our side. They may not have the experience, and they don't understand how government works. The left has set up this permanent grassroots infrastructure, and that's how they groom people to be part of their bench, so that when an election comes along, they pick a good candidate. So this project not only helps at the local level, if you do not want to be elected, you can have a tremendous amount of influence. But if you want to go on to a higher office or elected at any level, absolutely, you gain that insight, expertise, polish yourself, and you can become a really formidable, viable candidate for the center-right movement.
Kathleen, I've always thought it was really important then to support these, and when we say conservative center-right, we mean people that believe in this vision of America, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Steve and I were talking on our way in, pursuit of happiness. He said, we're talking about all these taxes for like this front range train that they're talking about, just all the taxes out there. And you actually need to be able to have some of your resources to be able to pursue your happiness. So if you have people in office that are trying to finagle and figure every which way to take away your property rights, that's antithetical to the American idea. But it's difficult. It's interesting because when I was on city council, standing against bigger and bigger government, against both Republicans and Democrats, was difficult. And sometimes I felt very lonely out there. I think we need to really wrap our arms around these people and support them, Kathleen.
Absolutely. In fact, I tell people, once you are on a board, you need to recruit a friend, someone who can sit alongside you so that the two of you feel like you have got this kind of force together, because there's just nothing worse than being the lone no, because then you end up just working against the tide. And that's why so oftentimes some, you know, center-right people get co-opted because they don't like feeling alone the entire time. Or I tell people, hey, look, if you can't get somebody to be on a board with you, get a friendly face in the audience, right?
Absolutely.
Someone who's just giving you eye contact, giving you a thumbs up, giving you that positive affirmation. So if you don't want to be on a board even, go to a local city planning meeting, or go to your city council meeting, or go to a school board. And when you hear something that is positive towards personal responsibility and liberty and low taxes and the rein in of government, stand up and cheer. Let these people know you appreciate their voice.
And I think we should do that also down at the State House. This cannot be easy for people that are trying to push back, stand for the everyday hardworking people here in Colorado, which is the Republicans, and they're trying to push back on all this stuff down in the State House. When we talk about contacting your representative, it might just be thank you, and that goes a long way. Now, you've got a class coming up, Kathleen.
Yes, the class, because of COVID, it's been kind of a mixed blessing. You know, we used to do this in person, and we'd have a half day, and it was really fun, but we'd have 30 people. But now, with COVID, we do it on Zoom statewide, and we've been averaging about 80 people, which is fantastic. So it'll be this coming Thursday, which is April 15th. It's not regular tax day, but That's how we made it, tax day, April 15th, at 6 o'clock. And you can go to the Independence Institute website and register. And then once you register, I'll send you the Zoom link. We just want them to have a little bit of security on there so that we don't get, you know, too crazy people out there. But this is an opportunity to at least understand what we're talking about, getting on these boards and commissions, practical help, a how-to lesson. Because I think people are very concerned and upset, but they don't know where to go to put that energy to good use. And if we can get them harness that into a board or a commission, then we're, at least we're off and running in the right direction.
And what is that website?
It's i2i.org. So i2i.org, and it should be on the first page, the local government class. Okay. And, you know, my email is there, too, if you have a question. If you can't make the class, one of my great joys is to meet with people one-on-one and see how we can get them plugged in. If that seems of interest to you, feel free to shoot me over an email as well. My contact information is on the website.
Kathleen Chandler, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. That class is tomorrow. Go to i2i.org to register. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kim, for the honor and the privilege of being part of your movement, the movement that's going to free us all, which is that of personal responsibility and property rights.
I love it. Kathleen Chandler, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
I tell you, she's singing your song, Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management.
Hey, anytime we have help with grooming a good crop of good candidates for the future, I think that's a good song to sing, Kim.
You bet, and I love the work that Kathleen Chandler is doing. I was thinking about you, Jason McBride, and the market is at highs. It very possibly can go higher just because of all of this government money that's coming in right now. But at some point, there's always corrections. He had talked about Roth IRAs, that next year taxes might be higher. There are strategies right now that people can do to sit down and look at their own personal economy. And I think put themselves in a situation kind of looking at risk and their risk assessment, all kinds of things. But I think people should sit down and talk with you about that, Jason.
Well, I think it is a good idea, Kim, if you think about where the market is now compared to where it was just a year ago and how quickly it's gotten here. Even people that have a pretty good financial plan, it may need some tweaking right now. It may need some adjustment right now. And one of the issues with, you know, assuming everything is going to continue to behave the same is that your plan could end up kind of overshooting what's actually going to happen, Kim. One thing I try to do is when the market's really high is when I'm doing a plan, I, you know, kind of trim back my assumptions a little bit going forward to account for that, because it just makes sense. If you're starting from a higher point, your gains are likely to be smaller going from point A to point B than if you're starting from way down at the bottom. Well, then your gains from point A to point B are likely to be larger. So that's a kind of thing an experienced advisor that's been around for a while is going to take into account for folks to, you know, try to hopefully, if there's any under or over performance, you're under promising, and hopefully down the road it comes out better.
Well, that's why I would recommend people sit down and talk with you about this. There's no cost to do a discovery session. How can people reach you, Jason?
Best way, Kim, just make an appointment with us. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. And Kim, we are open for face-to-face meetings, open for business, nothing weird. Just come by and meet with one of the advisors.
Sounds great. Jason McBride, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Randall O'Toole. And he is an expert in urban planning and housing and transportation. And I can't wait to talk with him about and find out what he thinks about Biden trying to get rid of single-family zoning, number one, RTD, and a possible train to Longmont, and then this Front Range train that they're talking about. It all costs money, and so we're going to find out what he thinks about that. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look for truth and clarity on these issues. I'm very pleased to have on the line with me Randall O'Toole. He is an expert in urban planning and transportation and housing. He writes at the Anti-Planner. It's ti.org/anti-planner. And really important. You will be very smart if you start to read his post there. Randall O'Toole, welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be here.
First question, when we were scheduling you, I wanted to get your thoughts on Joe Biden has in this infrastructure legislation, there is a paragraph in there that ultimately could get rid of single-family zoning. And Randall, the opportunity for people to own their own homes is inherent in property rights, in the American idea, and helping people create wealth to thrive and flourish. And today, you just posted this at the Anti-Planner, and you said something about repeating history. So tell my listeners what you think about this.
Well, you know, you raise property rights, and this is a big issue because are you giving somebody a property right when you say single-family zoning is bad, let's take it away and allow five-story apartment buildings to be built next door to your house? Or allow you to turn your house into a five-story apartment building? Or are you taking property rights away when you do that? Does somebody have a right to live in a neighborhood of single-family homes if they and all their neighbors want to live in a neighborhood of single-family homes? According to the left, single-family neighborhoods are racist, and therefore we should get rid of single-family zoning. According to libertarians, single-family neighborhoods takes away people's property rights to develop their homes into offices or grocery stores or apartment buildings or whatever they want. And I'm not sure, I don't agree with either one. I think that people should have the right to live in a neighborhood and know that that's going to be stable. Now, here's the thing. 130 years ago, in 1890, home ownership in urban areas was about 16%. Only about 16% of households owned their own homes. And it wasn't because housing was expensive. You could buy a house for $500, and it was really cheap. But people didn't want to because they didn't know what was going to happen next door. And developers developed a program called Covenants, where they would develop, say, 100 homes, and they'd put covenants on them that said you could only have a single-family home there. And suddenly that made single-family home ownership a lot more attractive. People bought homes. They knew that their neighborhood was going to stay stable, so they home ownership rate started to go up. And cities said, well, what about existing neighborhoods of single-family homes? It would be nice to have the same benefits for those neighborhoods. So they invented zoning for neighborhoods like that, and home ownership rates skyrocketed. They went from, as I say, 16% in 1890 to over 60% in 1960. And it was because of this stability. And by 1960, pretty much everywhere except Houston had single-family zoning, and housing had not become unaffordable. It didn't make housing expensive. It made home ownership a lot more desirable. And because there was more home ownership, we had income equality. The people who were middle class, people who were upper class, people who were working class, they all owned their own homes. And income equality reached the highest levels that America had ever seen. Once you owned your home, once you had some equity in it, you could borrow money against it and start a small business. So we had very high rates of small business formation because it was easy to get the money to do it using your home. It was also helpful for retirement. It was helpful for getting kids through college using the equity in your home. There were all kinds of benefits from home ownership. Then cities started saying, oh, urban sprawl is a terrible thing. We need to stop it. And they put restrictions on rural development, growth management, urban growth boundaries. Dr. Cog, the Denver Regional Council of Governments, put an urban growth boundary around Denver and Boulder and Aurora and Lakewood and Golden and so on. And that started making housing expensive. And when housing got to be expensive, urban planners said, well, we want to get people packed into higher densities. How do we do that? People don't want to build higher densities. Even though housing is becoming expensive, people would still rather pay a lot of money for a single-family home. So they started saying, well, we need to get rid of single-family zoning. Single-family zoning is what's making housing expensive. Well, it wasn't. Single-family zoning hadn't made housing expensive until they started drawing urban growth boundaries. So they've convinced President Biden that single-family zoning is what's made housing expensive. So they're trying to get rid of it. They're saying if your city has single-family zoning, it will no longer be eligible for federal funding for housing. Well, some cities never accepted federal funding for housing, so they're kind of immune. But other cities did. Just as a guess, major cities in the Denver area, including Denver, Boulder, Lakewood, Aurora, Golden, major cities all have accepted money for federal money for housing, but smaller cities like Broomfield probably haven't. And so the smaller cities will be immune from this rule, but the big cities will have to get rid of single-family zoning. And it's upsetting to me because two reasons. It's not solving the problem of affordable housing, and it is destroying the desirability of those neighborhoods that are single-family zoned for home ownership. And so we're going to see home ownership rates decline. We're going to see people starting to find those cities less desirable to live in. And at the same time, it's not going to make housing more affordable.
Randall, it's so interesting that you would mention this, because when I was on city council, from 2012 to 2016 was when Obama was pushing this program called AFFH,
Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing.
Yes, that's what it was.
An early version of this rule.
And what they were doing is, it was called Community Development Block Grants. And this is money that the federal government would dangle in front of different municipalities and counties, quote unquote, for housing. And that money then could be doled out to a number of different nonprofits, which that's also, and different programs, that's also another way of government picking winners and losers with this money. But I saw this danger on what that would do to people being able to own their own home, and actually went down to the Douglas County county commissioners and testified to ask them not to take that money. And they decided not to at that time. I did also go over to Jefferson County and testified on that as well. And they decided to stay in the program, which once again, there's then all these ties where the federal government comes in and says, do this if you want this money. It's kind of like extortion, I think, Randall.
Well, it is. And as you mentioned, I wrote a column on that today saying that this really is repeating history, because the same thing happened in Great Britain, which in 1947 had written a nationwide growth management law. They called it the Town and Country Planning Act. It limited urban development to 6% of the land in the country. Now, Great Britain is about the same size as Colorado. It's slightly smaller in physical size, but it has more than 60 million people. And those 60 million people, are almost all of them, are confined to 6% of the land in the country. The aristocracy owns most of the other land. You know, the royals and people like that, they own the other, almost all the other 94% of the land. And taxpayers are paying them $100 an acre per year to not develop their land. So they're not losing out. They're getting rich off of it. Meanwhile, to provide housing for people, which is getting more and more expensive starting after 1947, the government started building all these high-rises all over the place, and they were terrible to live in. They created all kinds of social problems like crime and congestion and high taxes and things like that, and they were generally poorly made, and the different parties, the conservatives and the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, all vied with one another in promising to build more and more houses, and it didn't make housing more affordable, partly because high-rise housing costs a lot more than single-family homes per square foot. And so people would end up getting little teeny apartments instead of a nice single-family home, and the cost would be horrendous, and the quality would be poor, and they ended up having to destroy a lot of these high-rises. And still, housing is, in Great Britain, is one of the least affordable countries in the world. So here we are, we're doing the same thing, only some states in America have passed these growth management rules that have made housing expensive. Georgia and Nebraska and Indiana and Texas and states like that are still very, very affordable. Basically, the states that have made housing expensive are Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, California, Florida, New England, and then a few urban areas like Denver. And everywhere else, housing is affordable, yet everywhere is going to be put under the gun if they're going to have to get rid of single-family zoning to be eligible for federal funding. That they're, as you say, many of them are addicted to, like Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Randall O'Toole, one point I wanted to make is that you mentioned the word equality, and under the Trump policies of getting lowering taxes, reducing rules and regulations, homeownership for blacks went up, I think, 5 percentage points. And that is what we really need to be doing, because that's the result they say that they want. But that is not the result that's going to happen with these policies. Randall O'Toole, it always goes so quickly when you're on the show, but I want to go to break and then move over to trains, because that's something that you're an expert in as well. So we're going to go to break. We have Randall O'Toole on the line. He writes at The Anti-Planner, that's TI.org. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of this show and also America's Veteran Stories. And the right tools make the job go smoother, more efficiently. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go to find that tool. Whether or not you're a sportsman, a chef, a collector, be sure and check them out. They're starting a knife sharpening business. They're doing some custom rifles. They're truly small business entrepreneurs. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Randall O'Toole.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Randall O'Toole, and he is an expert in urban planning and transportation. He writes at ti.org. That's the antiplanner.org. And wanted to talk with you, Randall, about this Senate Bill 21-238 here in Colorado, creating a Front Range passenger rail district. And I'm not sure I really believe there's going to be people that are going to get on a train in Wyoming and ride it to New Mexico. But the people that want to spend the money on it, they're sure touting it.
Well, you know, with trains, the thing is they're really, really expensive. And they don't work for passenger transportation very well at all because they don't go where you want to go. They don't go when you want to go there. We have 4 million miles of roads in this country. We have 150,000 miles of rail lines, which means an insignificant number of rail lines compared to roads. Buses work a lot better than trains. Politically, though, the cost is the benefit. The higher the cost, the greater the political benefits, because the more people can get some of that money, and they're more likely to support the, whatever politician supported these programs. So trains are perfect for politicians, you know, because they're backwards, because they're expensive, because they're a total waste of money. And that's why fast tracks got to be popular. They went to every single mayor in the Denver area and said, look, we're going to build an expensive, ridiculous train into your city, and you can, your ego can be inflated because you have a train. Mm-hmm. And the mayors all backed it up, and then they told the public that this is going to relieve congestion, it's going to get so many cars off the road, when in fact it turned out, what a surprise, it didn't get a single car off the road. The percentage of people riding transit today is almost exactly the same as it was when Fast Tracks was voted on in 2004. And when I say today, I mean 2019. Of course, the percentage of people riding trains today or transit today is much lower than it was in 2004. They built Fast Tracks all over the place, and yet, surprise, surprise, they had huge cost overruns. And they looked at their Fast Tracks proposals, and the one to Longmont was going to carry so few people and be so expensive, they estimated it would cost $65 a ride. Every time somebody got on, it would cost taxpayers $65. So they said, well, that's the one we're going to not build because we can't afford to build them all, and so we're going to skip that one. And everybody in Longmont got pissed, everybody who was a politician got pissed because they got cheated. They didn't get their train when everybody else got their train. And so they demanded to get their train. And now that Biden wants to throw up and he's put up $85 billion for transit, RTD is saying, well, maybe if we can get free federal dollars, we can continue to, we can build this train to Longmont. And who cares if it's $65 a ride if the federal government is paying? Meanwhile, other people are saying, well, let's build a train from Cheyenne to Pueblo, maybe even down into New Mexico, but to Pueblo for sure, and that's going to end up costing taxpayers $50 or $60 a ride. But who cares, because the federal government is going to pay for it with free federal money. They're going to give $80 billion to Amtrak. Now, here's the thing. The Biden's bill has $115 billion for highways, but $20 billion of that is to reduce the effectiveness of highways, to reduce the capacity of highways. So really it's $85 billion for highways. It's got $85 billion for transit and $80 billion for Amtrak, about the same for all three. Highways carry 87% of all passenger travel in America and 50% of all freight. Amtrak carries 0.1% of passenger travel and no freight. Urban transit carries 1% of passenger travel and no freight. And so in the minds of the politicians, it's perfectly sensible to give them all about the same amount of money, even though one carries 100 times as much as urban transit and 1,000 times as much as Amtrak.
It is astounding, but I actually had a front row seat to what you were just describing. And what I had seen is that there was maybe a couple of influential mayors that went out and really, you know, sold this. And they also called it TODs, Transit Oriented Development, which was working to put people in these 4- and 5-story apartment buildings, build them along rail lines. And they said, oh, people are going to love this. And some people do. If that's where somebody wants to live, that's great. But what I see is the force of public policy, the force of taxation, the force of redirecting money to make that happen. That is not a free and fair market. That is a coerced market on that. And I hadn't really thought about it. I think I inherently knew that. But yes, this is buying votes. You would see all the people that would benefit from building these rail lines. It certainly got support for this. I hadn't quite connected the dot the way you did that beautifully this morning, Randall O'Toole.
Well, you know, Siemens Transportation, which makes light rail cars, donated $104,000 to the Fast Tracks campaign. And after they won, just a couple months later, RTD's board gave Siemens a no-bid contract to buy light rail, for RTD to buy light rail cars from Siemens worth $100 million. It's the biggest light rail contract ever given out. And they didn't ask anybody to bid on it except Siemens. So it was a real scam. You mentioned transit-oriented developments. Dr. Cog has made housing expensive with the urban growth boundary. And then they say, well, we'll build transit-oriented developments, high-density developments for people to live in, but they're going to cost a lot more. And, hey, nobody wants to live in them, even at the higher housing prices, so we're going to have to subsidize them. So they use all kinds of subsidies. One of them is called low-income housing tax credits, which is a real scam, gigantic $11 billion a year annual subsidy from the federal government. One of the problems with 5-story apartment buildings is they cost 2 to 3 times as much per square foot as single-family homes. So they aren't more affordable, but because the federal government's paying a lot of the cost with the low-income housing tax credits, the developers will build them, and then they'll rent out little teeny apartments, 500 to 1,000 square foot apartments, for about what you would end up paying on a mortgage for a single family home if you didn't have the urban growth boundary.
Wow!
So we have people living in these little teeny apartments instead of single family homes. The dream of home ownership is flushed down the toilet, and urban planners are happy because they live in their single family home, so they know a lot of other people are having to live in apartments instead.
Astounding. Hey, Randall O'Toole, people can find you at TI.org, and you write on a regular basis, and the piece that you just mentioned about England, Britain, that's on right now. We have a minute left. What is the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Well, I think that you should write to your senators and congressmen and say you don't want to lose single families owning. Single-family zoning really is a property right, and you know, almost nobody today bought their house when it wasn't single-family zoned and then lost their property rights. They bought their house because it was single-family zoned. They like that, and tell them you don't want Biden's policy adopted.
Yes, we need to get on that, and I'm hoping that you know, I look at like the Realtors Association, I'm hoping that they're becoming active in this as well, because we're seeing the supply of single family housing houses coming on the market is very limited, Randall. So I so appreciate it when you are on the show. I learned so much. And again, people can find you at TI.org, correct? TI.org?
That's right.
Okay. Randall O'Toole, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
All right. Thank you.
And my friends, again, single family housing is part of the American dream. As Randall mentioned, people can then use the equity to start businesses, and we've seen that across the spectrum. So this is something that we really need to protect. Our quote for today is William Howard Taft, and he said this. He said, "Too many people don't care what happens so long as it doesn't happen to them." But by the time it does happen to them, it may be too late. So we need to stay on this. So today, my friends, be grateful. Read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.